Good morning. Good morning. I'm Pastor Corey, one of the pastors here on staff. Whenever I hear that music, I feel like I should do like a slow groove. So I have two PSA announcements, public service announcements for you. The first is this. As far as the jacket goes, wonderful purple jacket goes, two friends of mine were talking about this jacket. They'd seen some pictures of me because I bought this for my 50th birthday to go out to a play and out to eat. And they were talking, and the one said, "You suppose it's because he likes Prince or because it's the Vikings?" And the other guy, who knows me well, says, "No, it's just Corey." So it's just Corey, all right? All right. The second PSA I have for you is this. I have happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Oh, the first crew was like, "What do we say to that?" Very good. Thank you. That'll work. I have four mile markers that I would like to talk about real quick when it comes to Mother's Day. And the first is this. Those of you, I offer you God's grace and love. For those of you who are going to celebrate with your mom, who are in family situations where the kids are gathered together, they go out to eat and celebrate mom, that is awesome. And I'm very happy for you. That is so amazing. And I offer you God's love and grace for that. And celebrate with you Mother's Day. But the second mile marker is this, is that some of you don't like this holiday because you didn't know your mother. You really don't care about this holiday. When you hear the word mother, you have no idea what we're talking about or don't have a concept of that. And for that, I give you God's grace, God's peace for your life during this day. The third mile marker I have for you is one of, if you join me, because this is my mile marker, those of you who this day brings hurt and grief because you're missing the one, the mother, the grandmother, whoever it is that raised you. And today is a tough day because you think of those memories and you're sad because you're not going to make those memories anymore. For you, I offer you God's healing grace that is a salve to your wounds. To the last mile marker, I give talk to you about those people who, like my wife and I, we do not have children. And I've been in many churches through many years, and there was one time where we went to a church on a Mother's Day morning, and the pastor said, "I want all the women to stand up, we're going to give you roses." And my wife's like, "I'm not a mother." And it was so awkward. We don't have children, and it's none of your beeswax why we don't. Amen. And if you fall in this category, then for you, I offer you God's grace and love and peace. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at and embraces you where you are at on this crazy day that we call Mother's Day that's supposed to encompass all of these crazy things. But yet we find ourselves at some of these mile markers or in between. God's peace and grace to you. Now, if my mom were here, because she would be, because whenever I preach, she wanted to be there. She wanted to hear me preach. I don't know why, but she wanted to be there. She's proud of her son. But she would be mad at me. Oh, she would be so mad at me. She would. She'd be like, "You invited me to this sermon because it's about worry, right?" Because if my mom wore a crown, the crown would say, "Queen of Worry." My brother and I, we grew up on 4th Street, just a few blocks north of the Capitol. And my mom would say, "Don't ever cross 4th Street." She worried that we would cross 4th Street. My brother and I, we obeyed her. We would just go a few blocks north and cross 4th Street over there. As we got a little bit older, you got your BMX bike, we go out, we're like, "Mom, we biked down to the river. Did you cross 4th Street?" "No, we stayed on that side." "Okay, you're good." You know, she just, 4th Street is just a death trap. But she really worried about us. But that wasn't the only thing she worried about. She worried about everything. Now, we worry about all kinds of things in our lives, from relationships to what's happening to what other people think of us to how we think of ourselves. We worry a lot. And worry is the twin to worry, which is fear. To bring this to light, I want to share with you a story from one of my favorite authors. I have many, so don't try to pick me down to one favorite author. But this favorite author, his name is C.S. Lewis, and he wrote a set of books called The Chronicles of Narnia. How many of you have read The Chronicles of Narnia? All right, so I'm going to speak to four of you today. All right. How many of you have seen the movie Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? All right, there's a few more of you. Excellent. This will make life a little easier. All right. So there's a series of books. There's a lot of arguments. What order they go in, it doesn't matter. The book I'm talking about is The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And the main character that I may be talking about, if you're familiar with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is Lucy. Lucy is one of the many people who are on the ship. And the Dawn Treader is up on the screen. The Dawn Treader is a ship shaped like a dragon, and is owned by King Caspian. And King Caspian and the group of intrepid sailors are out looking for some friends who were lost. And so it's a beautiful day on the sea. They're headed towards where they think there's an island on this map. And as they get closer, they see this dark cloud. Not an island, but a dark cloud. They get closer to it and they realize that if the island is there, it is shrouded in this dark, dense fog. As they come up to this dark, dense fog, they lower the sails, and they have a little meeting, and they talk about, should we go in here? What if we hit a rock? What if we can't see? What if there's no island? What if that we worry and we have fear? Should we do this? And so they came to the conclusion that Aslan was with them. Now, Aslan in the Chronicles of Narnia is the lion, and he represents Jesus. He's the Christ figure. Now, why did C.S. Lewis pick a lion? Because they're majestic and beautiful, and they're never tame. Sounds like the God I know. Majestic and beautiful, but never tame. And so Aslan is with them, and they decide to go. So they put the oars out, and they row their way into this cloud. Now, they set lanterns out all across the ship, and as they go into this cloud, it's like it enfolds them, surrounds them, seeps into every nook and cranny, so that as they watch the light disappear from the lanterns, the light just gets to the glass and doesn't seem to escape the glass. It is so dark, so thick, so enveloping that the fear and the worry start to rise in them. Now the oars are rowing. They're going towards who knows what destination. And in that place of darkness, those oars sound screechingly loud as everyone's thoughts turn inward and they begin to worry. With the loudness of the oars in the oar sockets, a voice comes from the darkness and says, "Hello, are you real?" And they holler back, "Yes, we are real. Where are you? We can't see you." And they pull the oars in so they can hear better. And they hear a plop, someone jumping in the water. They hear swimming, as if someone was swimming in the water. And then they look down and over the edge, whoa, there's somebody there. They reach down and they pull a man out of the water. They put him up on deck. But he is wide-eyed and he's afraid. He said, leave now. And they said, "Friend, why? It is just dark." He said, "No, you don't understand. This island is the island where dreams come true." Well, then all the sailors were like, "I've heard of this island where dreams come true. I wanted to go to this island because then I get treasure and fame and fortune and all the things I ever wanted. My dreams will come true." And the man said, "No, not your daydreams, your dreams." And they all stood for a moment, reflecting in what their deepest dreams are, what their worries are, what their fears are. And as if a gong had gone off, all ran to the oars and turned the ship around. You see, worry and fear is that dark envelope of mist that enshrouds us, holds us in the darkness. So we can't see what's going on. We don't believe that anything good is going to happen because it's dark. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't even see that. We see the light barely, but it doesn't shine. And so we become afraid and we worry. And then in the darkness, we are told that our worst worries, our worst dreams will come true. Oh. We run to the oars to try to get out. They run to the oars and they start going. And now the oars sound like it's like screeching eagles in the sockets. It is so loud. They turn the ship and it only took 5 minutes to get to where they picked up the man who's swimming. But it feels like a half an hour to get out. It seems like they're never going to break through. They're going to be stuck there for the rest of their lives in worry and fear that the worst things they can imagine will come true. And then Lucy says a prayer. Lucy says a prayer. In all the fear and the worry, nobody thought to pray. Nobody thought to ask, "Hey, Aslan, are you here?" She throws up a prayer, and as she prays, a shaft of light breaks through the darkness and lands on the deck. Just a shaft, just a little shaft. Everyone stops what they're doing. They look up at where the where it broke open through the clouds, and Lucy sees something. What is it? At first she thinks it is a cross hanging in the middle of the air. And then she thinks it's an airplane. But then she sees what it is. And out of that shaft flies an albatross, the white bird of the sea. I'll take that quote. But no one except, and that albatross began to fly around the mast. No one except Lucy knew that as it circled the mast, it had whispered to her, "Courage, dear heart." And the voice she felt sure was Aslan's. And with the voice of a delicious smell breathed in her face. Only Lucy heard it. Only Lucy called out to Aslan. Only Lucy, in the middle of that darkness and the worry and fear, called out. But the shaft of light and the albatross was seen by all. Now, I'm going to talk to two different people who are in the room here. The first person that I'm going to talk to is someone who struggles with the fog of fear and worry. The second person I'm going to talk to is not bothered by this, but is annoyed by the other one. I'm going to talk to you second. Just hold on. Your turn is coming. The first is this. When I was a child in grade school, when I or my brother would get sick, Mom would go to work, stepdad was at work. My grandma would come and visit. She would come and take care of us. And my grandma was a fancy lady. She always wore a fur coat, whether it was real fur or fake fur, I don't know. But she had this beautiful fur coat. And she would leave it on the couch. And she would take care of us. She'd make us soup and help us to feel better. Well, when I was feeling really bad and worried that I would not get better, and full of fear that I would not get better, I would crawl over and wrap myself in this fur coat because it smelt of grandma's really cheap grandma perfume. You can smell it now, can't you? It smelt of lefse. And it was so comforting to take this fur coat and wrap it around me and fall asleep in this jacket, surrounded by the smell of grandma, the smell of love, nice and warm. Now, when we are suffering, when we are dealing with worry and fear, we call out, like Lucy did, we call out to Jesus, we call out to God, and we say, "Jesus, are you here?" And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, I've been here the whole time. You just didn't see me. I'm right here." And then his peace that is so much different than worry, so much different than fear, wraps around us. You see, Jesus addresses fear and worry in the scripture. In his Sermon on the Mount, this famous sermon where he talks to people, he talks about worry and fear. We open up our New Testaments, we read these words, and just like a text from someone, the words are black and white on the page. You can't discern just by reading it what the feeling is, what the emotion is, how it comes across. And sometimes, you ever read a text wrong? Right? Got the wrong emotion? You were in the wrong frame of mind and you read it and went, how could they say that? And they meant something totally opposite of what you thought because of the emotional state you were in. Well, sometimes we read Matthew 6 with the wrong emotional state. Now, Jesus in Matthew 6 says, who among you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? Therefore, stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will bring worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, this passage, when read in the midst of worry, read in the midst of fear, we can see this not as something, as a coat wrapped around us, but as something that is mean. Get over it. We think Jesus is saying, get over it. You shouldn't worry. Get over it. And so we tell ourselves that. But in truth, what Jesus is saying is don't worry. He takes that fur coat, he wraps it around us, and he says, don't worry. Stop worrying about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Accept my grace, my love. Sink into the grace that Jesus gives you. And don't worry. Don't fear. Because I am here. All right. Now for the second group. The ones who are annoyed by people who worry and fear. Sometimes we use these passages as baseball bats to beat up people that annoy us and we're impatient with. We say, don't worry, because the Bible says, don't worry. I say this in love. Stop worrying. And we beat people about the head with the scripture. We beat people about the head and bruise them with Jesus' words, thinking that we're just going to shut up the annoying person who worries too much. And I'm guilty of this. My mom would, she was the queen of worrying, and I would use the scripture and say, Mom, stop it already. And instead of wrapping her in grace, I beat her up and bruised her with the scripture.
Stop it.
Stop it. Scripture is not a baseball bat, especially when it comes down to peace and love, worry and fear. Put down the bat. Grab the fur coat. Wrap it around them. Hold them tight, cinch it and hold it and say, Jesus' love is here for you. Fall, soak yourself into this. He is here through the worry. He is here through the fear. Lean on him. Prepare to receive the blessing. Children of God, as you leave this place, wrap the fur coat of grace around you. May you just get lost in it. And may you share that coat with all who need God's grace and love today. Go in peace. Thank you for worshiping with us.